This is the Brothers in Company podcast.
Hello, 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 everyone, and good evening, and welcome to another episode of this segment of Content Creators from the Brothers and Company podcast, where we showcase artists, poets, business professionals, actors, and much more here in Charleston, South Carolina, and beyond. My name is Chris C. Lyric Wynn. I'm one half of Brothers and Company podcast tonight. It is Tuesday, April the 16th, 2024. And tonight, I have a special guest and a great friend of mine and fellow poet in the Charleston community. And his name is Mr. Joey Tucker, better known as Mr. D. Enlightenment. He was born in a small town in Walterboro, South Carolina. Grew up listening to his favorite hip-hop artists, often writing raps of his own. His hip-hop roots are evident in the poetry community. Watt Road and Presbyterian College. Mr. Enlightenment took a creative writing poetry class. It was at that time he put together his own collection of poems. After graduating, he wrote from time to time, but nothing serious. A breakup sparked his creativity once again. In 2009, he released his first chapbook, Wallets and Purses, released it. And also, along with Light and A Poet's Playground. In 2023, he released his poetry book called Flicker. He also released two poetry CDs, Worth the Wait and Watts in 2015 in Summer Solitus in 2017. Mr. D. Enlightenment's name is a play on words streaming from his job as an educator. Also, he wanted to shine on stage while delivering his work. Mr. Enlightenment has performed at various venues in South Carolina and Georgia. And also, he has performed at my book release party last year for Colors in 2023, along with other great fellow poets. It was a great success and turnout. And Free First was definitely in the building to show me so much love, and he is one of them. All right, guys, I am so honored to have this man on this episode. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, show your love for the one and only Mr. Joey Tucker, better known as Mr. D. Enlightenment.
What's going on? How y'all doing out there?
Good. I'm so glad and honored to have you on our show today, man. How you feeling?
Man, that's good, man. Trying to wrap up this school year and just promote myself and just, you know, interact with fellow artists and just, you know, try to make my mark out here.
That's what's up. You are most definitely making your mark in these streets as a poet, man. You are so well known, man. Well, can you tell me about yourself and who is Joey Tucker, better known as Mr. D. Enlightenment?
Man, I'm just a traditionalist, sports fan, elementary school teacher, just a social butterfly. You know, fine. If I'm not doing some poetry, I'm out and about, just hanging out with friends, you know, just enjoying life, man.
That's great, man. Oh, I bet to ask, who's your favorite team? Either football, basketball?
NFL, I am a Las Vegas Raiders fan.
Well, I'm a Carolina Panthers fan. You know, my whole family loves the Panthers.
Right. Well, I can get down with that.
Yeah, because we collect their merch and, you know, just everything. They beg on the Carolina Panthers. You know, we're trying to win. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. So
everybody got the same goal.
Right. We've been close, but, you know, we just got to do better.
It's up and downs, man.
Absolutely. So can you tell me, how long have you been performing and writing poetry?
So my first open mic, I was posting poems on social media and stuff. I wrote, I was in college, put together some poems for a class, and you know, along the way, me and a friend of mine, we're, you know, just writing stuff and sharing it between each other. You know, I was starting to post stuff online and getting pretty good feedback. Just interacting on Facebook, and I met this guy who was also a poet. You know, he wanted to get, he almost doing what Marcus is doing now in Charleston. He was doing that just all around. It wasn't like locally based. He was out of Philadelphia. Well, he had a, I think went to college in college in Georgia or in the South for sure. And he ended up in Philadelphia, but he had a passion for poetry, you know. And he offered me a chance to kind of put together unofficial, you know, it wasn't nothing with a barcode. It was just, you know, put together some paper, staple it together, and just, you know, just grassroots, getting your work out there to the few supporters that you had at the time and just build from there. So I did my first open mic in 2010.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I mean, I had my spurts and I pretty much continued it. You know, I had my more productive years in poetry, but I never stopped doing it.
Absolutely. Then we'll ever stop doing poetry, man. Well, I started doing poetry. It started back in high school. I used to like write songs. I'm big into hip hop and R&B and, you know, and I was like writing and singing in chorus. And then I'm like, oh, my songs can be turned into poetry. And then, like you said, I started writing poetry more. I went to Trident Tech in the early 2000s and I took like a creative writing class and I created my first chapbook and it was like an awesome experience. I'm like, oh my God, I can write. And I've been getting like good grades on it. But yeah, man, it's been awesome. And I also like started going to free verse as well after, you know, dealing with different situations during and after COVID, just try to, you know, better myself as a person. And, you know, it's been very great. Like, I really love performing and going to open mics just to get inspired by a lot of people. So most definitely. Yeah. So in your bio, I wanted to ask, like, you stated that hip hop has influenced your art of poetry. Can you tell me some of your favorite hip hop artists that has inspired your work and how they impacted your life?
Well, I grew up in South Carolina, but I listen to a lot of up north hip hop. You know, because New York kind of the mecca of hip hop. And, you know, especially when I was younger, we weren't, you know, the Southern rappers weren't getting that much publicity. So, you know, we all were just New York. New York is what we kind of were influenced by. And, you know, I was a big Wu-Tang fan growing up. And Jay-Z is my favorite rapper of all time. So just, I guess if you listen to it enough, I was just able to, you know, put words together. Like I could just be creative and put a simile together that would just be clever and, you know, kind of have a little bit of humor with it too. So I don't know if I kind of credit, you know, if you listen to lyricists, I think you start to become a lyricist. I think if whatever you kind of subliminally listen to or you exposed to, you kind of pick it up.
I must definitely tell you, I love New York hip hop as well. I do like West Coast hip hop, South hip hop. I like the old school hip hop, like, you know, Kid and Play, like House Party Movies. And that's when I got really inspired to, you know, listen to hip hop and then also going to parties as well. So most definitely New York is in the house. That's where it all started.
I would look at Rap City, The Basement, you know. That kind of kept me in the loop about what was going on. And, you know, when videos were like, you know, we kind of depended on videos to kind of see the artist. Now it's social media, but, you know, you had to wait to see your favorite artist and you had to watch the videos. And they came out with an album. You didn't get to see the behind the scenes in the studio. You just had to wait for that release date.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I miss the old BET days, man. Like, you know, like you said, like Rap City and doing those cyphers, those freestyle battles and stuff. I truly miss that. It was the good old times. I wish we could go back in time and, you know, relive those moments, you know. But, you know, again, social media has really kind of taken over and just changed everything from hip hop. Like, I still collect CDs to this day. Like, I don't like streaming and download to my phone, because, you know, I still like, you know, collecting and looking at booklets and stuff and how to produce what producers is on the album and the lyrics and stuff. Lyrics and stuff, you know what I mean?
When you bought that CD, you like, you open it up and read the inside while you listening to it. So yeah, I remember that day. I remember
absolutely that day. Absolutely. And I still do. And I have like a bunch of CDs in my room. So it's this a full stack of CDs, movies as well, video games as well. So absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, we met at open mic nights at Freeverse events, you know, created by, you know, Mr. Marcus Amaker, who was our first poet laureate of Charleston. Shout out to Mr. Marcus Amaker, you know. And then going to these events, you know, he want us to perform in a safe space without any judgment. What can you tell me? What great advice has Mr. Marcus Amaker given to you that impacted your life as a poet, or any advice that he has given you?
He's very positive. Like, he'll never be critical of your work. And I kind of take that same approach. You know, you want to be positive about an upcoming artist or a new poet. You want to, you know, never kind of shut people down, you know, especially if they feel like they want to share their work with you. Because I guess if you're a veteran of that field, you know, they want that mentorship. So he was always the positive guy, and, you know, in warm, inviting. Like, he, you know, he had events and he invited me out and he gave me opportunities to do my poetry with him. So, you know, I just kind of take that same approach. Like, I'm trying to share opportunities if I have them, and, you know, just not tear anybody down. Just, you know, keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, poetry is unique, and that it's so many different styles, and we're all, you know, we all adding something important to in the community.
Absolutely, man. I can tell you definitely, Mr. Marcus Amaker, he is such a positive, like you said, he is a positive poet here in the community of Charleston. Like, I call him my big brother of poetry, because I learned so much from this man. Like, he actually helped me with the formatting for my book, and I've been like going back and forth with him. Like, you know, I wanted to be perfect, and he was very patient of, you know, helping me edit and having my book formatted correctly when I was having difficulties, like trying to upload my manuscript online. So he definitely was very patient. Yeah, I will also say, like, he gave me also advice as well. He told me, like, when you release your book, release your projects, do it when on your time. Don't do it when, you know, people try to rush you and try to speed you up. Just do it in your own time when you're ready. Because I wanted to make sure my poem was ready and perfect and just, you know, ready for the world to be taken. So most definitely Marcus Amaker, he's such a wonderful mentor to everybody here in the community. So everybody could definitely learn from this man. So shout out to him.
Yeah, man. He's basically like Mr. Poetry for sure. Like, he is like, when you say poetry in Charleston, like, he's one of the names that pops up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you do know that poetry is a great way to express yourself, like letting out all of your emotions, whether it's being happy, sad, and so on. What has poetry meant to you in your life that helped you overcome obstacles in your life?
It definitely gives me a chance to kind of vent. I don't outwardly share my thoughts as much. I keep it pretty positive, but everybody goes through these moments when things aren't, you know, always going so well. So writing is always an outlet. It's just been a thing that I've been doing, and a great way to meet more people, and just a conversation spark between artists. You know, I like to, you know, go to those open mics and workshops and just, you know, kind of share ideas with people and kind of see how somebody else might interpret something. So just those conversations, and, you know, allow me to be creative and kind of push the envelope. Like, I love how poetry is kind of like, it allows me to be free. Like, I'm not the most vocal person. you know, I'm not the center of attention type of guy, but I feel like when poetry allowed me to kind of get my voice and kind of command the audience, even though I'm not always like that, I kind of like play the background. But when you're on stage, and it's almost like you can have that other alter ego, like it's a little more stand out than my normal self.
Absolutely. I could definitely relate to, you know, being on stage and bringing out your alter ego, because I'm kind of different from, you know, my personal life. I'm like more reserved, laid back. And then when you perform, you become this person that, you know, motivating and so encouraging. So I definitely love it. It just brings out take me out my shell when I perform. So most definitely. And I would say, like, for me, when I write my poetry, I kind of write from personal life experiences, wherever I'm dealing with, you know, depression, happiness, and joy. I kind of write that down rather than just bashing somebody on social media. I'd rather just like write it down, go in a corner and just express myself, you know, just it helps me definitely better to, you know, get myself better in life. So most definitely I can relate to that. I'll ask you a question. So in your poetry performances, you are the man at crowd participations in your poetry performances. Like, you know, you feed off the people's energy and you just motivate everybody. Like you always do that lights on, lights off. I just like that. So that's one of my favorite parts in your poetry, you know, lights on, lights off. So do you think it's like important, very important to incorporate crowd participation in poetry pieces to make the audience feel one with your work?
I think it can help, definitely. It kind of breaks the ice with you too. That's kind of get the nerves out, because as much as you perform, you're still gonna be a little nervous when you still go up there for the first time, you know, that night or that evening, whenever. So it gets and sometimes the crowd's not always into it. You know, they might not know who you are. You know, at that point, they might came to see another poet. They didn't come to see you, or that kind of like sparks their attention, you know, the way you present your work. So I think it definitely can help.
Absolutely. I kind of agree with that, man. Like I would say when I go to my performances, like I think my first open mic was a couple years ago at the Common House. I can remember it. It was like nighttime and Marcus was hosting it. My Love's First Chat, my lips was like, I was shaky dicky, man. I was like, I was doing ums and ahs and just, I was so nervous. But after a while, you just get better and better. Like, I definitely love the crowd participation. Like, especially I'm learning from DL. Like, he's good at, you know, just crowd participation. Like, you know, he'd been like, shout out some words, like different subjects. And then he create poems like off the bat, like that on the spot.
Yeah, I'm not ready to freestyle poem like that yet.
Well, I did it before. It's not bad at all. I'm for my performance next month for, you know, the, you know, Charleston Arts Fest. I'm probably going to do some freestyling, so it is fun. I might just wrap off your stickers and your t-shirts and just create a poem, and you know, everyone love it.
Hey man, it's like I said, man, there's always different ways to go about it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because I'd be thinking like poetry, like you just had to rhyme and your poems got to make sense to the people. And, you know, but like you said, like poetry comes in so many art forms and different shades, you know, like poetry is just everything. So there's no right or wrong when you write and perform. So most definitely. Yeah, so I see that you put out your own poetry book called Flicker that I have, man. I definitely loved it. And I do love the picture illustrations with your poems. I'm definitely very proud of your publication, man. So I'm very proud. Thank you. Thank you for putting it out. Can you tell the people?
Checking it out.
Of course, man. Shout out to your peoples that definitely helped put your poems together and, you know, the whole publication and everything. Can you tell the people what your poetry book Flicker is about and what has inspired you to creating it?
So kind of what sparked it is when I was just posting on social media and I was, you know, you get a certain amount of space. And when I was tweeting at its prime, you know, you only had 140 characters. So I started doing like haiku And then it kind of transformed into my own version of poetry where, you know, it wasn't exactly counting syllables, but I would have a central thought and I would kind of try to pack it in a certain amount of lines. And then I kind of stumbled upon this genre online called micro poetry. So I started becoming pretty good at, you know, saying a lot with those small amount of lines. And I just, you know, kept putting, you know, coming up with poems and writing down on paper. And I was just, you know, having something to post. You know, I would post a poem every few days or every day, and it started becoming something I do on Instagram and Twitter and getting good feedback. And it was a quick hitter. So, you know, somebody is scrolling, they don't have the time, or maybe they don't plan on stopping and reading an entire longer poem. So they can, you know, on your timeline, they'll see those three or four lines and be like, oh, that was pretty clever. Oh, I like that. You know, then they might share it or they might retweet it. They might, you know, like it. So I started like kind of developing a knack for that. So I just had a bunch of short poems that I just compiled in a document. And I've also seen where people would put a picture to go along with it. So I was like, all right, well, I reached out to some art, you know, art teacher friends of mine or just artist friends of mine and said, hey, I got some poems. Can you draw, you know, a little sketch to go along with it? So, you know, I sent them some poems and, you know, I kind of gave them a little direction, or I also want them to be free with it. You know, like whatever, you come up with something, you know, I can kind of like, yeah, I like it, or no, I don't. So I feel like it was another way to add to the poetry. So you can put a little picture there to go along with it. So I decided to put it out and just go with it, man. Absolutely. And it makes sense because, you know, it was all, I was thinking light, you know, all, I got a lot of light theme poetry and just promotion. So I was thinking like, it's a quick poem. So it's like a flicker of light, you know?
Right. Absolutely. I definitely love the illustration, man. I'm with the same way with my poetry book that came out last year, Colors Can Overcome Levels of Real Stages. And I talked to one of my great designers, Mr. Chris Kendall, who created my, you know, graphics. And I told him I want to have my pictures as the, you know, the backdrop, you know, as defining my emotions, with the red that represents redemption. Black color represents, you know, darkness, dark days, like them dark times. And then the gold color represents, you know, the good and inspiration in my life. So he definitely executed that. And the pictures go along with my poetry and it definitely flowed very well. So I definitely appreciate the illustrations, your illustrations and the people that behind it. Man, it's amazing, Bubba. Absolutely. So I would ask you, like, you know, in the author's world, you know, like book reviews from online can either make you or break you. Like, I don't know if you deal with it. Have you deal with any good or bad reviews about your book? And if so, do you feel book reviews can make a poet better, or can it make you intimidating?
That's something I always kind of struggle with, like criticism. So, a good review can be a good thing, and then a bad review can also take away from it. So I don't want to force it, but, you know, I do kind of like, hey, if you like the poem, can you write a little bit about it? Just because a review can definitely help, you know, the next person decide if they want to read it or they want to buy it. But I guess it's all kind of criticism, if it's from a positive place, like, you know, some people just like tearing you down just because, you know, if it's not for you, it's not for you. So why put all the effort into writing a negative review? So if somebody asks you to write a review, I think they respect your opinion enough. And like, maybe it wasn't for you, but you can kind of pick out some positive things about it. So I feel like there's a way to give some criticisms, or, you know, what you could do better, but that's a slippery slope. So I haven't had any, well, lately, I guess there's always somebody on social media that, you know, they don't understand your poem, or they didn't understand one of my poems, or, you know, I don't mind clarifying. Like, I actually like when people ask me, like, you know, what did you mean by that? Or if they say some kind of smart remark, you know, maybe a good conversation can come from it. So I think it's all about how you approach somebody with it and how it's done.
And I agree with you also with, you know, people's opinions and reviews. Like, when I put out my book on Amazon, I was so nervous too. Like, I was like, I was waiting on somebody to, you know, say something bad and tear me down to shreds. But, you know, so far, everyone has been loving it, you know. It's,
yeah, because you got to go out. I mean, a bad review, okay, if it's food, something, I feel like you took a chance. You always going to take a chance. I take a chance on a movie that, you know, maybe I'm not familiar with the actress. I take a chance on it. So for me to go on and write a bad review and try to make the, you know, there's a way to do it. Like, I feel like you got to go out your way to be negative about somebody's art. It's like, okay, it wasn't for me. I bought it. It wasn't my cup of tea. I feel like to write a negative review about it, it's kind of like unnecessary.
Right.
Now, if somebody came to me and asked, I feel like, yeah, I can do a positive review, but I don't know. It's just not me. I'm not the type of person to go online and write a negative review about somebody's art. No, if it wasn't for me, it wasn't for me. I mean, there's some people that they do that. That's what they do. You know, you get more traction from something being negative about something than being positive about it. But I guess if you want to, I'm very strategic about who I do ask my, you know, who I want to ask about, you know, the work. Because right. Sometimes you be careful what you get. You careful what you ask for, because, you know, it can't make a big especially if you decide to pay somebody that's a stranger that does a review. You know, you're taking a chance that it might not be that great. So
right.
I guess I'm trying to be as organic as possible, man. So hopefully it lands in the hands of somebody that appreciated it, and then they want to, you know, share the good things about it.
Right. Absolutely. I'm the same way too, man. Like, I don't take it as a, you know, a bad experience, like, you know, good or bad, but with reviews, for me, I feel like it betters me as a poet. If something is bad, I can do better on the next poem and the next book that I put out. I feel this person.
And the thing about this, like, what? I'm not going to change my whole style of poetry because one person said it wasn't good. Like, that's right. Art. That's like, if I'm a painter or a sculptor and somebody doesn't like my painting, I'm not changing my whole style because of you. So you take it with a grain of salt, I think. Now, maybe they could say, maybe your illustrations could have been done differently, or maybe your layout on the page. Okay, I could understand that. But if you didn't like my poem, I'm not changing the way I write. Like, and it's a hard thing as an artist. You're writing it for yourself most of the time. Sometimes you're writing it for the audience. So I don't want to get caught up in trying to please the audience so much. At the end of the day, if you think your poem is good, you need to put it out there, because somebody is going to connect with it. And there's some people that's not. It's not for everybody. So I'm not the type of person, yeah, I'm going to take your criticism if it's something that I can, I don't know, if it's something that could help me as a writer, but I can't take the, I didn't like it. Okay, you didn't like it. What? I'm not going to change the way I write for a negative opinion of it. So that's just me. I don't think any artist should change, you know, their core values to appease the audience. Because at the end of the day, you should write for yourself. Like, we're not Drake out here. We're not trying to sell a million copies. So you're writing from a place, like, it's your story. I'm telling my story. I can't let nobody tell me that I'm not telling my story correctly. Like, no, I'm not going to change my style because one person doesn't like it. Because like you said, you got your favorite artist and you all about that favorite artist. And there's some people who don't like that favorite artist. I don't think that artist I think the artist gets in trouble when they start changing themselves for audience to get more people supporting them. You kind of lose, like, what are you doing it for? I like the art at its purest form. You know, everybody wants the applause. Everybody wants to sell a bunch of copies. But at the end of the day, you put it out, like, you were proud of something you put out. Like, this was something that I thought was good. And at the end of the day, I think that's all we need.
I agree with you, man. Like, you know, I wouldn't want to change my poetry for anybody because everybody's story is so unique, different, because you don't know what that person go through, the next person go through. So why would we change it? So
exactly. We don't want everybody's poem to be the sound the same. Like, I love those free verse open mic. Like, it's so many different styles.
Me too.
Go to the open mic, there's so many different styles. And all of it's good. Like, I love poetry because there's no one way to do it. You can't tell me I'm doing it wrong. You can't tell me I'm writing poetry wrong. Now, there is a technical aspect, which I'm not the most technical poet. I'm sure there's line breaks. You got to do a line break here. You know, like, I'm not so technical with that. But end of the day, it's no wrong way to do it. Like, you can't do it wrong.
Not at all. Not at all. We are unique and different. Especially with the slams. Like, you know, I went to a slam last year. I participated in it, but I feel no one is different than the other person. You know, everybody is so unique, got their own style. Like, no.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. Man, I've never been a slam person because I don't want, and people get caught up, I'm not going to be correlating my poem to a score. Like, I just never want to get caught up in that. I've been online. I follow a lot of poets online, and there's a lot of controversy about slam poetry right now, and just the competitive nature, and it's like they're kind of ruining the
whole essence of what.
Yeah, I get it. Trying to be the best, that's cool. Right. Trying to be the best is cool, but slam's never been my thing. So I've always stayed away from slam. Like, nope, I'm not getting into a slam. Like, I'm not doing it. I'm going to deliver my poem the way I want to, and I don't get caught up in slam. That's not my style.
Right. I agree. It's not for me either, but, you know, it was a experience that I wanted to try out.
Yeah. And, I can't knock it. There's a lot of really good slam poets out there. And I've been to some slams. Like, I've been to a popular slam that's called Southern Fried, and I heard about it and I decided to go one year. And it was good, like some really good poem. And I commend you for that. But and there's a way to do it too. And it's like, again, what we just talked about. You're writing, you're going into these slams with certain poems that you're not going to resonate with the people. So it's almost like you're writing to win. So I don't know. That's not my thing. Like, you do have to kind of, I did learn it. I don't know how you feel about it, but if you thought that, what's the thought process you go to when you're like, all right, what poem am I gonna read? Like, what poem am I going to choose? Like, we had the last time I saw you out at the free verse one, you could only do one poem. All right, so what goes through your mind when you're like, I only got one poem to kind of get the crowd's attention. I got one poem. So what goes through your mind when you're trying to decide which poem I want to do? How do you decide what poems you're going to do?
Man, for me, I just go what the energy feels like. I just go with the flow. Like, a lot of people like reading about love and happiness and joy, but, you know, I decide, you know what, I'm just going to write something that's dark and just to get them on their toes so they can relate. I think one of them was about like a abusive relationship I've been in. And, you know, it was just about, I'm no longer a victim, and it kind of resonate with the audience. I just go with the flow of, you know, how the audience is feeling. You know, I try not to like read the same exact, kind of not the same exact, but the same exact theme that everybody else is reading. I want to just do something.
All right. Yeah, you got to shake it up.
You got to shake it up sometimes, you know, but yeah, most definitely. You know, that's my you know, thought process of, you know, just going there. Because when I be going to, you know, Freeverse, like, you know, the poetry events, I be thinking it's like therapy, you know, because you be seeing how the seats, how the seating area is seated. It felt like, you know, going to therapy, and, you know, the audience is therapists, and, you know, they just listen to your work. And it is such a good feeling, man. Like, it's not intimidating at all, you know. And I just love it. Absolutely. So I want to ask you, like, for anyone that's listening out there, like, what type of advice would you like to give anyone that wants to start a journey as a poet, and what can they learn from it?
I would say just kind of be a sponge. You know, when you start to go out and hearing poets, and you kind of take little pieces from other people, like, oh, I like the way she does that. I like the way he does that. So, you know, try to, you don't want to, you still want to be original, but you can still take pieces of your favorite poets and kind of build your own style from that.
That's what's up. Okay, so it's since it's National Poetry Month, I hate to put you on the spot. But you always deliver your poetry, as always, man. So is there a poem in your heart that you would like to share with any, with all the listeners and fans out there? That's kind of...
Yeah, it's only right that I do my introduction poem. I like to start off every show with this poem. You know, if I got multiple poems to share, I like to start off the night with this one, because, you know, this is where it started. I think this is one of my first poems that I wrote to share out with people. This poem is called "Let There Be Light." I remember when mom used to call me home before the street lights came on. Now I feel at home on stage when the lights are on. Senior year undergrad, that's when the light came on. Time to illuminate. I write like I'm afraid of the dark. My pen is a light bulb, a match waiting for that spark. When I start to shine, I don't plan on flickering. My brain is a generator, ready to kick in like an NFL punter. Try to take my shine, I got enough radiance to go around. I'll even pass it out like free samples. Like the first attempt for Neanderthals trying to create fire, you probably fizz out before you replicate me. When someone closes the gap, it's time to increase the voltage, become more ultraviolet. For every sunrise, there's a sunset, but not if I can help it. Prepare for my summer solstice. Let there be light. Lights out.
Oof. Man, did you just say with closing the gap, your brain is, you know, generated? Oh my God. That's what's up. That's why I had you at my book release party. Like, you deliver, man.
Appreciate that.
You are welcome, man. I wish you could do another poem, but, you know, kind of run out of time. But I'm most definitely going to check out at more open mic events, man. You're a crowd pleaser, as always.
Hey, man, like I said, it didn't always start like this, because, I had to go through my moments where I was the nervous person, the person with the paper. You know, I decided to, like, make it my goal. Now, I do read off paper. It depends on what kind of setting. You know, if I'm doing a poetry reading, an extended amount, I'm definitely going to do some from memory, but I might pull out a couple poems that I want to read to the crowd. But if I'm out and about, I'm only doing one or two, I'm definitely trying to go from memory. Like, that's what I like. I think I can. I'm not good about reading from the paper and looking up, and I just, it loses some of that, you know, the energy. It loses some energy to me, because I got to worry about where I'm at on the paper. So I like to do it from memory, and that way I can just, you know, I like to move with the poem, and I want to be looking at, I want to be walking around a little bit. Sometimes, right, I don't stay in one spot. I'm that one line. I'm looking at this person. I'm looking over here. You can pause. You can add that, you know, you can, the way you can enunciate certain words, like, when you got it from memory, I feel like you can do so much more with it.
Absolutely. I agree with you, man. Like, I think, like, doing performing poetry out of memory is, it feels so real. It feels so fluid. Like, you just, it just feels a lot better, man. You know, I tried, like, you know, I still do read off paper, looking at the audience, look down, look at the audience. It's helpful for most people, but, you know, I felt like, you know, having a memory is, you know, a lot better. It took me about almost a month to memorize a poem because I had to keep repeating words,
It's the hard part. Like that, it's still for me, I want to actually memorize a new poem. And it's tough, man. I realize you just gotta make yourself. I've started to record myself and then play it back over and over.
Oh yeah, I've been doing that too.
That's how I remember. Like I remember, if I actually put my mind to it, you give me a week, and that's with other stuff going on. Like, give me a week, and then I'll have that poem pretty memorized. But the bad part is, if I don't do poems for a while, I'll still forget some of it. But then you go back through it, then it comes back kind of quickly. But I gotta start. It's a certain poem or two that's in my catalog that I think would be good when I do a show. And I was like, I want to add it. You know, I want to give somebody another poem. I don't want them to be like, oh, I heard that already. Oh, I already heard that from you. I want to be able to give you at least one new poem that you didn't hear the last show. Even if my catalog is big enough that I can kind of switch them out, I want you to feel like you heard a different poem than the last time, or maybe it's a different order. Or I took a poem out and then I put another poem in. So I feel like, especially if you're somebody that goes to all of my shows or to a lot of my shows, I want you to feel like, oh, I didn't hear that one. Or I didn't remember that. I don't remember that one for last time. So that's my goal.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Where can people find you at? I know you got upcoming events coming up. Can you share that with any listeners listed out there? What you got going on?
First of all, you can find me on Instagram at Kilowatt Poet, Facebook, Mr. Enlightenment. I dabble a little bit on TikTok at Kilowatt Poet. I got a poetry show coming up in May. May 17th is a Friday here in Charleston area, Mount Pleasant to be exact, at a place called Hobcaw Brewery. It's in Mount Pleasant, so it's 7 to 9 on a Friday. So like about a month out, you know. So it'll be me and a couple other of my poet colleagues coming to share some poetry to the people.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. And I've been very honored to being a part of your Delight Show last year. So most definitely, I definitely appreciate you having me on, man, along with the other fellow poets. Man, it's been so much fun, man. Just to share the stage with you, and it's been great, man. I definitely appreciate it. Most definitely come out to the Light Show, everybody. It's amazing. Like, most definitely. You will get inspired. Dang. I would like to thank you so much, man. Joy, for definitely being on this segment of Content Creators by the Breakfast Company Podcast. It was a great show. I felt so inspired by your words of encouragement and motivation of your poetry. Man, you are truly, truly a gift from God, man, in this community. And I know the sky is the limit for you, man. Just keep going. Just keep doing what you do best, man. I just definitely love your work, man. Is there anything else you would like to say in the segment of Content Creators that you haven't really spoken about, or any advice?
I appreciate the opportunity, man. I like what y'all are doing. Like I said, I didn't know how long y'all have been doing a podcast, and it's pretty pretty impressive, man. Just because a lot of people do a podcast, they do it for a little while, they stop. You know, you gotta put it's a lot of dedication. Whatever you decide to do, that's what I say. Low motion better than no motion. you know, I had my moments where I didn't do poetry as much, but I literally, even if I wasn't sharing it, I was writing it from time to time, or I was watching a video. So keep going. Whatever it is, keep going. Don't stop. It's going to get hard. You're going to feel like, you know, you're not making much progress, but you definitely are. You definitely got more. If you look back at it, your journey, you're farther along than you were when you started.
Absolutely, man. I definitely appreciate that, man. Because I tell everybody, like, if you have a goal, dream, and aspiration in life, just go for it. You know, don't hold yourself back. You know,
I'm working on that, man, because I'm trying to deal with the fear of failure, and you're going to have to take your losses too, man. But I'm not a fan of it, which nobody is, to take that risk. You know, some people like taking the risk, man. I'm a calculated guy, man. I'm going to take my baby steps. I don't really go out there and leap. I haven't left yet. Like, I'm taking my baby steps, right? I ain't take that jump yet. So I'm going to have to do it at some point, but.
Right. Sir, failure is not an option with you, sir. You always succeeding. You're always doing great things. So I don't see failure in your eyes when you perform and seeing you about with, you know, as an educator or anything, man. Like, seriously, you was doing it.
You know, we are always our own worst critic too. So that's the thing, man. Hope, man. You know, hey, I'm glad I make it look, you know, like I got it together. But at the end, like,
you do.
You know, you're dealing with your stuff, and you know, you want to be, like I said, you want to be a perfectionist, but you got to put it out there. How are people going to feel about it? Are they going to like it? Are people going to show up at the show? I mean, that's like kind of nerve wracking, man. When you're putting together your own show and you're putting yourself out there, are people going to show up, man? So that's what you got to deal with.
Absolutely, man. Most definitely. I definitely appreciate it, man. Well, thank you so much, man, for definitely being on this episode, man. And hope to see you doing big things, man. I'll be looking for you.
All right, man. Shout out to the enlightened, man. You are now enlightened.
Lights out. Cool. All right, guys. You have heard it here. Mr. Lightman has given us his encouraging words, his story, and his inspirations within his life and his heart, man. He's such an amazing dude, man. Just to wrap up, my name is Chris C. Lyric Nguyen of the Bravos Company Podcast, presents Content Creators. You can definitely follow Content Creators, Bravos and Company Podcast at Facebook, Twitter, IG, TikTok, and on our website at BravosandCompanyPodcast.com, where you can see the latest episodes, including this one here with Mr. Enlightenment on the website. We do have bios of me and Derek, one half of Bravos Company Podcast there, pictures, and along with our merch store right here.
All right, yeah, Derek, shout it out.
Faded No Charleston right here. And you could definitely purchase shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, and more definitely on our website. So definitely check out our merch store, guys. And again, we always say this on our show. I mean, Derek, we are free 99, guys. You ain't got to take out no loan, no mortgage, no payments to watch us, man. Like, why pay for, you know, content? You know, it's all free. So most definitely check us out, guys.
I need to subscribe to you on YouTube, man.
Oh, absolutely. Most definitely. I can definitely share that link with you after the show is wrapped, and I could definitely, you know, share that with you. All right. Okay, man, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. You guys have a good night. Peace and one love.
This is the Brothers in Company Podcast.